This is the feast of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only announcements are that we will not have blessing of articles after Mass today. We will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m. And we want to thank everyone who donated for the Easter lilies for the altars. So benediction tonight at 6 p.m. What a great way to conclude this Holy Week. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, Chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Alleluia. Praise to God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. On this great day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. We will be turning to the Blessed Virgin Mary immediately, but we first want to say this. Of course, we as Catholics holding on to the true faith and tradition, it is heartwarming also to see customs that attend to our traditions being carried on too. And I'm reflecting on what I saw last night and briefly this morning coming in. It's a long time ago now, when I was growing up, there was this thing. Everybody got new clothes for Easter. It's the old thing about the Easter bonnet and the Easter parade and all of that. But all the girls, the women, the mothers, now of course in those days they still wore hats, not the veils, but they wore the hats, and everyone would get dressed up. They had new dresses, new hats. All the boys had new little suits, and they had hats too, believe it or not. And seeing people yesterday and last night and now reminds me of that, and I compliment everyone for it. Will not go into any of the reasons why, but you can see right away, okay, here I am going to some reasons. For those who did not have the opportunity to see the baptism at the Easter Vigil. But if you've seen any baptisms, you know that once the person is baptized, they are clothed in a white garment. And we saw that last night. And those people who were baptized were catechumens before, they are neophytes after. And this whole week was their week of being celebrities. And they wore these white garments for the entire week. Does that make you think why we wear special clothes for Easter? Okay, now we turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary. We are the strife. Of course, we know in reality the strife is not over. But today it is. Today, the victory has been won. We welcomed our victorious King on Palm Sunday. But as the sequence ends, to you, our victorious King. So today we have no need to talk about strife. We follow the example of our Lord himself when he rose from the dead. He was willing to face the people that opposed him. He was willing to let them harass him, harangue him, insult him, blaspheme him to his face. He was willing to let them spit upon him and to hit him, slap him with their hands, their fists. But at the moment of his resurrection, that was over. And we'll follow that example. No one of his enemies ever saw the risen Lord. So they're not part of this for us today. We do note the one exception, St. Paul, always the exception, because the risen Lord appeared to this leader of the enemies and converted him. So we are going to rest and relax with our Lord. And so we're just going to meditate on what he did today. It's for us to relax and enjoy his presence, but also for us to recognize and remember the things that happened. Many Catholics do not even know. And we start with the stational church for today. Holy Mother the Church always directs us by things that she does. So in Rome, the Catholics, following the Pope, would go to the Church of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the city and for the world, St. Mary Major. That's telling us something. Because when our, and if you ever do miss sermons, believe me, go to the website and listen. Any of the sermons this week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the vigil last night. But description of our Lord rising at midnight. So what did he do? The first person that the evangelists tell us that saw him was St. Mary Magdalene after the sun had risen. So what did our Lord do between midnight and dawn, whatever that is, how many hours? He did not just sit around twiddling his thumbs. What would you do if you had just come through some terrible thing and you had been saved? Of course, our Lord saved didn't need to be saved, but he rose from the dead. I know where I would go. And that's where he went. He went to see his mother. And he spent that time with the Blessed Virgin Mary. Maybe someday we'll know some of the things that they thought about, talked about, remembered. Did they think about and talk about his birth at midnight? Did they talk about Saint Joseph? Did our Lord tell the Blessed Mother he was fine in limbo of the patriarchs? The way that the liturgy lifts us out of time and space is dramatic. We don't know if this is a moment like that, but it was something that we noticed during the vigil and the Mass, that what actually, our Lord, of course, rose from the dead, so his human soul was reunited with his human body by the power of the Son of God, and for those who, so no one gets confused, every one of the acts of God outside of himself is an act of God entirely. That means Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So no one should be disturbed when St. Paul writes in one of the epistles that the Father raised his Son from the dead. That's the Holy Spirit teaching us through St. Paul. That is correct. The Father raised his Son. Does that mean the Son did not raise himself? Of course not. The Son rose from the dead. And we have the third person of the Blessed Trinity. Doesn't that mean also that the Holy Ghost raised up the Son? Yes, he did. So this is a tremendous work of the Trinity. So our Lord rises from the dead, his human soul reunited with his body, which is in the grave, and he rises from the dead. He passes through the rock, this big rock we just heard about in the Gospel. Passes through the rock and goes to see the Blessed Mother. So our Lord is now with the Blessed Mother. What's happening back at the tomb? We don't know exactly when, but there was an earthquake, and these guards who had sealed this tomb closed, that rock could not be moved without breaking these seals, and they were there, the guard, and an earthquake comes, and an angel comes and descends, rolls back the stone, sits on it, and stares out at these guards watching now in complete fear. And what did they do? They probably ran. Now the tomb is empty. So all we have are the angels and the empty tomb. That's what it appeared last night. Until our Lord came back from the Blessed Mother at the consecration. We saw the empty tomb. We saw the tabernacle open. Our Lord was risen. We saw the angels unveiled, guarding the tomb. And we thought, our Lord is with his mother. And at the right time, he comes. And what in history was happening, that's our liturgical note, but what was happening in history, in this historical moment, these women, gospel named them, but we just want to point out, that Mary of James, that is St. James the Less, one of the apostles, his mother is believed to have been the sister of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This was our Lord's aunt, Mary of James. These were the devout women attached to our Lord and his care. And they rushed out as soon as they could on Sunday morning, found somebody, I don't know how they did this, found somebody to buy these spices from. And then they came to anoint our Lord, which they were not able to finish on Good Friday. And we heard the account. Then what happens? St. Mary Magdalene, as soon as she saw the stone roll back, she ran away. She left the group, ran to the apostles and said, something's happened. They've taken him away. She had not investigated. She just saw the stone gone, move back. That triggers Saints Peter and John to run to the tomb. Meanwhile, the women have looked in. There's another angel inside. He gives them the message you heard. They now leave. Tomb's empty again. Saints Peter and John come. They look in. St. Peter goes in. They see the shroud and the all of the bandages neatly folded. St. John is starting to understand, oh, this is the prophecy being fulfilled. Then they leave and go back. The women who have left on the road, they meet. Nope, that's not chronological. Because St. Mary Magdalene's first. After she told them, she goes back to the tomb. She is, the scripture says, she's bursting with tears. And she listens to these angels, but she's not consoled by that. And then she turns and thinks she's talking to the gardener. And our Lord says her name, Mary, and she recognizes it and falls at his feet, and we know what happens. And he tells her, no, go and talk to the apostles, my brethren. And then she goes off again. Then he meets these women on the road, talks to them, again tells them, go and tell the disciples. And the disciples are getting all these reports, but they're not really believing. They were slow to believe. And then our Lord appears to St. Peter himself. We just have a reference to it. We don't know what was done there. He appears to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus in the afternoon. They rush back to tell everybody else in the upper room. That's where they find out about St. Peter. And then our Lord closes the day coming in to see them. So he had a busy day. So that's some of the highlights. We do want to do this also, especially for the people who were not able to attend last night, because what we do is we make, as we had the baptism, then all of us renew our baptismal vows. And the celebrant tells us we have come through our Lenten combat. Let us renew our vows of holy baptism. I'm going to just say it for those who are not there, so you can do it interiorly. Let us renew our vows of holy baptism, by which we have of old renounced Satan and his works, and also the world, which is the enemy of God, and promise to serve God faithfully in the Holy Catholic Church. Therefore, I ask you, do you renounce Satan? We do renounce him. And all his works, we do renounce them. And all his pomps, we do renounce them. And then the priest goes through the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God? I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. And in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and eternal life, amen. Then he asks everyone to say the Our Father. That is what we all did last night. That is what anyone who missed out should be doing today at this Mass, especially to our Lord in Holy Communion. And I want to just say that this week, of course, is the greatest of the liturgical year and renews all of the things that we believe in. And I'm going to say my own creed. I believe in blessed palms. I believe in blessed water. I believe in blessed oils. I believe in blessed words. I believe in blessed books. I believe in blessed incense. I so believe that I'll die rather than let someone harm that book. It's nothing new. Our ancestors did it all the time. What about St. Lawrence? Hand over your treasures. And I believe in blessed bread. I believe in God under the appearances of bread and wine. I believe in blessed wine. That's what I believe in. As we run out of time, we ask all to pay pay special attention to the Mass texts. Continue your Lenten practice of reading the Masses. It continues for these days of the Easter week, where we learn everything we need to know about these appearances of our Lord. We will just mention this, though, about the introit, which is something new for us when we first heard it. It says, our Lord said, I have risen and I am still with you. He's not talking to us. He's talking to the Father. I am risen and I am still with you, Father. Despite what anyone saw, my God, why have you forsaken me? You never did. I am still with you. I have always been with you. You have put your hand upon me. And now you raise me up. You know my rising and my falling. Very mystic Mass. We also want to just make a mention here, which was something else of a revelation this week. Not only have we all changed liturgically, hopefully spiritually, hopefully we're going to actually carry the graces of this Lent throughout our life. They're going to be our means of salvation and our glory. But something else has changed. The world has changed. We have seen the hatred of God and his Christ in the burning of that icon in Paris of Notre Dame. The thing that strikes us, and we commented on based on hearing Father talk, I'd never thought of this. And I share it. Most people, well, we all suffer from the effects of sin, and we all struggle to overcome temptation and to be good. We do that. There are other people that, because of ignorance, and they have been kept in ignorance by the devil, so they do not know the way to heaven. And then there are other people that, by malice or weakness, that's too hard for me. It's too hard. I'm going to give in to all temptations. And that's sad. And that's the people we have to pray for and convert. But there is a certain number of people, and we do not appreciate this, but this week helped to focus it. There are a certain number of people who actually embrace evil, not out of this weakness, ignorance, and some degree of malice, but and it can't be pure malice, but they embrace it. And this burning of this temple of God dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary, icon of Christianity, that was a moment when we could see those forces at work. If not in what they did, we don't know the investigation what happened there, but in the glee that was expressed by people watching it. And as some commentators said, which is what Father was commenting on himself, this was a sign, a mark of the end of time. Even pagan people were saying, this is dramatic. But the thing that struck us was that some of these people, some of these very few, maybe we don't know the number, some of these people actually think, and the commentators said it, they want to bring on the second coming of Christ. You know why? They want to see the battle between Christ when he comes and their Antichrist. Have you ever heard of that? I mean, we know these things. I've never heard that they want this to happen because they think that their Antichrist can defeat the Son of God. Can you believe it? Right. Cannot believe it. Because who is the leader ultimately of that side? The devil. The devil doesn't know that he cannot conquer God? Yes, he does. The devil knows who God is and that he is not God. And he knows that he cannot conquer God. The devil knows that. So what is this disconnect between the devil and his closest associates in the world? What's happening there? No problem. He is the father of lies. He knows reality. He knows he can never escape hell, which he created for himself. God created, but for him. He knows that. But he has deceived certain people in the world, and he has convinced them through whatever means. He has convinced this certain number of people, we don't know the number of them, but he has convinced them that he is the God of this world. And all he needs is to have a battle with this other God, and he will be victorious. He's lying to them, but they believe him. Isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that absurd? But that's the reality. I share that because that was a revelation. People actually think that their Antichrist can defeat the Son of God. We're heading towards that final conflict. I just share that with you because that's what we're in. That's the battle we are in. We're just the foot soldiers, and we only meet the foot soldiers of the devil. But it's good to know what that leadership is thinking. The devil himself knows he cannot win. So what's his goal then? Oh, he is just trying to hurt God any way he can until time ends. So that's what he's trying to do. But he has to trick his followers. And so he lies and tells them and convinces them, we can win. You can win. Do everything you can and we will win. That's why they're doing these things. And that was a revelation. Because to me it was like, why do it? Why do you fight? Because they believe in something else. So just a little warning that what we're facing as we go on. But today we know that our King is victorious. And we know this is just a sign of what's going to happen in the future. He is going to lead us to victory and to heaven. Pray for these things. Express your firm faith, hope, and charity that we will be with God one day in heaven. May God bless you. Oh, and happy Easter to everybody from all of us here. God bless you.